I'll tell you why I can't find you. Every time I go out to your place, you gone fishing.
How you know?
Well, there's a sign upon your door. Gone fishing.
I thought you'd like that.
I do like that. That's nice.
There's your hole out in the sun.
Okay, Pastor Donnie, who are these guys?
I have no idea.
Cosby, trumpet, Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby and
trumpet. Satchmo. Louis Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong.
Yes, God.
That is
all of a sudden, I'm listening to too much astronaut stuff.
Listen to say Neil Armstrong.
Oh, that is awesome, man. That is awesome. I like that. All right. I'm Pastor Donnie Green, and we're here today with Brother Barry and the legendary Fishing Frank. And we're going to go through some series of questions and answers, but first we're going to get a word of prayer in, and then we're going to get started. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for such a glorious day that you have provided, Father. And Father, we lift up all those to you that are in need and those that are doing without, Father. We also want to give you thanks for the prayers that you've answered already and for the ones you certainly have not. Father, we ask you that all the things that happen here today, the things we say, do, and think, all comes to glorify you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Frank, shoot me some questions. Go ahead. I know I broke some rods today.
Well, our guest today with us is Barry, and he's the host of Barry's Tarpon World. He's got his own show on Fish and Frank's thing, and we're all going to be, he's another one going to be following with us on WKDW, and I have a working out a thing with 11 radio stations right now, hoping to get us all on there.
Oh, wow.
So,
hello, everybody. I'm Barry. So, been a little silent, but yeah. So
this is ahead, this is the first time I met Brother Barry. This is awesome. What a wonderful guy. You know, can't wait to find out your knowledge here.
Yeah, we just ran into each other at Frank's, and you guys were recording a show.
Well, Barry was going to record his, so we had a studio conflict. So I said, "Why don't you just come with us?" Right?
It all happened in a parking lot, so this is win-win.
More the merrier, right?
That's it.
All right. Now, Donnie really likes the out in the Gulf fishing.
Okay.
He's big into the Gulf, but he started out on the piers and docks, mm-hmm. got a little boat, and now he's into the big boat fishing. And you're kind of piers, docks, seawalls, that shorelines. You really enjoy fishing that,
right? Or like more inshore. I don't have as much experience offshore, but I mean I love fishing all around. But yeah, so we've started, I guess, on similar paths in terms of starting from fishing from shore.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, I started off in West Virginia. We didn't have a whole lot of opportunities to do the boat thing. So, you know, when I come down here, it was piers, docks, seawall, just wherever I can throw a line in, you know. And so now, you know, we graduated.
Now, have you guys fished at the Tom Adams Pier, the bridge there? Barry, have you fished there?
I have not, believe it or not.
You haven't fished there. Uh-huh. How about Placida?
Yes.
No, not Placida.
And I'm going to work for sure. We're going to find a place. Englewood Beach. Stump
yes.
Pass.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. We finally found common ground.
Stump Pass, Englewood Beach?
Yes.
What's that one, the funny bridge on the way up? What is that?
Elgerbean.
Definitely fished there. Yes.
Okay, I fished that one too. So.
100%.
All right. When you were there, what was your primary target?
Well, we saw the stingrays, so we targeted the stingrays. We was using that for the wings. The wings are fantastic to eat, but the guts of it is great for shark bait. So we double horned on both of those, and then we actually...
All right, now, we got... Wait a minute. Back up. How do you prepare your stingray wings?
Yeah, that's a... I'm sure people would love to hear that. Have you found a tasty way to eat stingray?
I am going to steal everything you said.
Oh, no. Look, guys, I'm a chef. I'm not supposed to be giving away secrets like that. I don't think this is how this works.
When you catch them, what do you do after you catch them? What's the first thing you do when you get one up on a pier?
Okay, the first thing I like to do is I take the barb off the tail. All right, get rid of the danger, get rid of anything that could be an issue later.
Okay, now, when I look at a stingray thinking about eating it, it's about size, thickness. What do you look for as far as, okay, this is big enough to keep?
You know, just good spread. If he's got a nice body to him, if he's got some good wings to him, I really don't have a set. I mean, there obviously there's a point where they're just too small to mess with, but I want to see some little bit of girth to him, just like a fish.
Kind of like an inch and a half thick.
Yeah, roughly. To me, if I catch him, even if I catch a grouper, if he's 22 but he's real skinny, I throw him back. I don't want him. I want something that got a little bit of meat to him. I want something a little fatter. I want something that's been out there for a little bit.
So you're almost going to need a little experience. Flay one or two up and kind of get an idea of what it takes.
Yeah, because here's what you got to do. You got to take the knife and go down by its body, as close to the body as you possibly can. Okay? So you want to cut that off. That'll give you your two wings.
On the body of the stingray itself, not where the wings are, is there any meat on the body?
Not much. Not a lot.
Not worth messing with.
Not really, no.
So it's more of a cavity too, right?
Exactly.
It's just a cavity, the center of the stingray. The wings is what has the substantial meat.
Yep.
So now you make a little bit of a curve cut, cutting in and then back to the wing, or is it kind of straight?
I usually start off toward the head, and then I come back toward the tail, and it's kind of like a little arc. Yeah, but it's not
going
much.
Into the fish, not away from the fish.
Going away from the fish.
Going away from the fish.
Going away from
curving
the fish.
Curving towards the wings. From the head towards the wing and then back.
That's right.
Okay.
Right. All right. And then once I get those off, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take an outer band cut. So I'm going to take my knife and I'm going to cut just the edge off all the way around. Okay. And then I'm going to take a pair of pliers. I'm going to roll this top skin back and I'm going to peel it straight off. If I roll from the outside coming back to the body, it'll peel straight off. No problem. Wow. And I do that on the top. I do that on the bottom. And then what I like to do is I like to cut those out in strips.
Now, does this come out in two pieces, like a top and a bottom, or do you have it as a whole?
There's a row of cartilage, I guess is a word that you can use for in between the two meats.
Right.
And I take my fillet knife and just shave that off because a lot of people don't like to get in that. If you cook it, it does kind of weaken down a little bit, and it's not so bad, but I like to get rid of that. So I take my knife and just cut straight across the top of that.
So
I'm filleting it.
So do you get on one wing, do you get two pieces of meat?
That's right.
One on top of the cartilage and then one below?
That's right.
Okay.
And then what you're going to do is you're going to cut those off in strips. And here's the good part, guys. It's just straight eat after that. You ain't got to worry about no bones, no nothing.
Right.
So you're going to get your pan going. I like using iron skillets.
Okay. Now, before we get away from
Frank's cleaning. Frank's like, uh-oh, here we go.
Before we get away, we're not done. I'm like, oh, my.
I'm hungry, man.
We're not done cleaning yet.
When
I've cleaned them, cut the wing off, and then make a slice down the thing, and then basically work the meat off like I was cleaning a flounder.
Okay.
Where it's once you cut the wing off and then you make a center cut and I'll fillet that meat, peeling it off that cartilage layer to get one side and then the other, flip it over and do it again.
That's right.
So that it actually, it's just like a flounder with one fish, I get four fillets off of it.
Yeah, but two on each wings. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Top and bottom.
Right.
And usually then I cut it into strips. I've never tried peeling the skin off, so that's really interesting.
Yeah, that's easy.
I've always, when I've done it, I just make it into kind of narrow strips, then take my knife and fillet the skin right off.
Yep.
Where you're filleting the meat off of the bone, I'm actually kind of working it off with my knife exactly like I would a flounder, and then cutting the meat off with my knife, and you're actually just rolling it up and peel it back off.
It peels off almost like a banana, man. It really does. Wow. I do catfish the same way.
I haven't tried peeling off the skin. I didn't know it comes off that easily.
Oh, yeah. If you know how to roll that first lip back, you just roll it back towards you, and it'll just peel off.
Wow.
Now, you just put the pliers on it, crank it around, and then just peel?
Yeah. When you make that outer band cut, and you cut right along the edge of that, you'll be able to take your pliers at the needle nose. I use a long needle nose at the end, and I've got pretty strong hands. But what I do is I get that skin on either side, top or bottom, doesn't matter, and I pinch it with the needle nose pliers, and I start rolling it back just a little bit. Once I can make a complete roll on my pliers, I just grab the meat and just peel it straight back, and it comes straight off.
Wow. Now, not a big deal. The only thing that it happens easy for him, but his arms are the size of my leg. Okay. So it may be more difficult for me and the rest of the human-sized creatures in here. Now, in this trailer, I happen to be like, you ever the size of, you know, Jerry versus Tom the Cat?
Well, you know,
Barry's, you know, a half step below Godzilla, and Donnie is full blown Godzilla.
So this studio, it probably feels like a packed can of sardines, but you're with two big sardines and a little. Yeah. There's no room for you in here.
Yeah.
Little sardine in a big can.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. I will tell you, my wife's 4'10", and she's a Filipino, and she saw how I did it, and she gets in there working with me just like I do.
Wow.
She cheats a little bit. She'll cut the wing in half so she don't have to work the whole wing like I do.
Yeah.
And she'll cut the wing in half and do the same way. Okay. But what it is, it's grain. If you go against that grain, it'll just roll right back like no big deal. Wow. It's real easy. It really is. But
it doesn't work if you start from the body side going out.
It's just a little rougher. It's a little
rougher. It's just much harder to do.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could probably do it, but I've never had success doing it that way. You know, I told you in the previous shows, I grew up on my own. So I had to find ways that worked and for me. And so, like catfish, if I take catfish and try to roll from the head to the tail, it's just garbage. But I'll take its skin off the opposite way. I'll go from the tail going back to the head, and it just rolls right off. I don't have a problem. I will flay a catfish faster than you can do anything else.
Well, when I was up in Tennessee and that, we would just stick a nail in the tree, make it a little cut, and just peel it right down.
Yep. Actually, in Louisiana, I had a buddy of mine, BJ, and his dad. So two of them was against me. We both had the same amount of catfish. And these things are monsters. They were eating weed out of the Mississippi River. They were up next to a plant. So these catfish were huge. Uh-huh. I mean, huge. They got to work, and I got to work. They had two done. I had my entire mess of it done. I had over 13, 14 catfish completely done, wore out, already filleted. Went down to the other house because, you know, BJ came up and said, hey, you know, we're like a mile apart. BJ comes up here and he says, hey, why don't you come down here? We'll teach you how to do this. And I was like, teach me. I said, I'm done. I said, how many more y'all got left? And he said, oh, we're on number two. And they were doing the same thing. They were nailing it, trying to work it backward. I said, man, y'all killing yourself. Cut here, take the bars off, slide it right off. They were like,
see, now, you have to admit, this was the show to join in on.
Yeah, like, I'm still in the mentality where you need to fillet with a knife. You don't have to, like, peel anything like a banana.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way I did it. I did mine like a flounder. Uh-huh. You know, you cut across the top with a flounder, you cut down, and you work the meat off both sides. Then I usually cut it in strips. But with a flounder, they're small enough, you can just fillet the skin off, you know, and end up with just meat. But I've never thought about skinning it.
Right, and the beauty about it is the hardest part of filleting a fish usually is that last step, which is taking off the skin, because sometimes you cut through it, you can mess it up, and then you have to go back and take that little piece of skin off. But if it's natural and you can literally take the whole skin off with just a rip, you're good to go. And it takes 2 seconds, it sounds like. It's not this delicate procedure, surgical delicate procedure.
No. See, when I'm doing the stingrays, I have to literally cut them in like 4-inch strips in order to successfully get the skin and meat apart.
Right.
So I'm not only taking all that time to work it off of the cartilage, and then when I get the wing stuff, I actually have to cut it into strips so that I can. Now, what's nice, it's already pre-cut for cooking.
It's a win-win. Exactly. Yeah, it's a win-win.
But
because that's half the battle with when you catch fish. Sometimes you're like, is it worth? Like it plays in your mind when you catch something actually good. Like let's say you catch. I've never ate a stingray. I think of shark bait. But when you catch a good one, if you don't know how to clean the fish properly, you're like, is it worth my time to clean this? Do I really want to do this? But if you can make it more efficient and enjoyable. And
I can actually tell you, I let a 29-inch triple tail go one time just because it was late. I was really tired.
Right.
And I said, okay, I'm not cleaning this sucker tonight.
Right.
I'm really beat. I've been out here all day. I know I'm not going to get to it. I don't want it to set on ice. Okay, you live another day. Back in the water you go.
You know, we were seriously blessed many times when we go out there and fish for these things. And normally what happens is the family, the whole church gets together and we're like, all right, we're going to have fish fry. So not only do I got to go catch the fish, but I have to go home and clean them, get them prepared, ready to cook. So, you know, we pray and we talk to God and he provides us the stingray or whatever we're after. And typically, you know, when they go stingray time, at first another church wanted to eat it. They were like, you can't eat those. And I was like, dude, you probably ate them and restaurants just didn't know it. You know what I mean? But, you know, you were ordering scallops, but they were
getting
stingray.
If they're all perfectly the same size and the same thickness, ain't Mother Nature.
You probably
God does not make a consistent scallop.
No.
He has a very artistic scallop formula. kind of just whatever he feels like at the moment. Yep. If they're all real nice and similar.
It looks like he probably popped it with a pipe. There's a pretty good chance they popped it with a pipe. But and it's good. And you know, we get it done. I probably it takes me a couple hours to fish, get the ones we want. Then we'll go back to the house. Take me like 15, 20, maybe 30 minutes at tops. I'll have them totally flayed out, ready to go. Takes me another 15 minutes to cook, and then we're done. All right,
here's one thing that, you know, you're talking about. It's a party fish, which I'm all into. Now, the saltwater catfish, same thing.
I love them.
So much meat out of them. They're so easy to catch.
Yeah. Well, let's clarify. But, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Frank, but is it a hardhead or the sail cats?
The sail cats. All of them. All of them, really. Yes. But the sail cats, everybody throws back and says they're nasty. They're delicious.
Right, okay. Sail cats are real good eating fish. Hardhead, you guys have eaten largemouth bass.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever eaten bass, Barry?
Yes.
Okay. Well, a lot of younger people don't eat bass. It's okay, I got to catch and release it, which is foolish.
No. Frank, come on, Frank.
Well, you and I are, if the Russians invade by snow, you and I have cover.
Yeah.
Well, we can lay it face first into the snow. And, yes. You know, Barry, he's going to have a lot of brown stick. We're getting white enough. We can lay face first. We get the Russians as they come down the snow.
This is true. This is true.
We're camouflaged. But when I first came to Florida, I was an iron worker. I was playing bass guitar. That's basically how I made my living. And I got to play at all these local parties and stuff. A guy named Buck, one of the coolest guys ever met, country singer, guitar player, and I played bass for him. And his son played drums, and I'm still good friends with his son. Buck passed away. But when you went to a party in South Florida, you went, there was swamp cabbage, palm trees cut out, then you throw a bunch of tomatoes and bacon and all that stuff in there so it actually doesn't taste so bad. And then the heart of a palm tree, swamp cabbage.
Right.
And then there was mullet, and then there was mullet gizzards.
Mm. Ah.
Now, mullet gizzards is, you go in and you buy, people eat chicken gizzards all the time.
Right.
Well, by all accounts, mullet gizzards are much better than chicken gizzards.
Wow.
They're basically the identical thing, except people always say the mullet gizzards are much tastier than the chicken gizzards. But because we don't have the schools of mullet back then, you could go out for 4 hours with a cast net and come back with 500 fish, you know. And nowadays, you just don't really can't do that.
Was that back in the 70s, Frank, or 80s? Okay.
I was shooting for 30s, Barry, but all right. Yeah. I got you.
Thanks, buddy.
Sorry.
Getting back for the Russian camera.
Yeah, just a little bit. Go ahead. My bad.
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas presents.
Hair dye?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
okay. All right. Let's see. How much time do we have left, by the way?
We're at like 17 minutes, so
we got quite a bit of time.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite recipe for stingray?
All right. I like to use an iron skillet. I love iron skillets. They cook right. They just always keep the temperature just perfect, so I like to have the iron skillet rolling, get it nice and hot, put me some butter down in there, let that melt, and as soon as that melts, put your stingray in there. And as soon as that gets in there, sprinkle a little bit with garlic and just a touch of like your Tony Cesare. I like a little bit of spice to it, something, a little bit of heat to it. And then let it just kind of fry on half. You'll see it kind of turn white. It'll have like a little white, grayish kind of color to it. Flip that over and then cook it again. Same way. And lightly sprinkle just a little bit of garlic, parsley, basil, and Italian seasoning. And then just like dusting it. And all you're doing is hitting the tops of these things. Because, you know, they've been cooking in butter on the bottom side, and now flip them over on the top side, right? Pull those off and wear them out. They are just absolutely delicious. I mean, just really, really good.
All right. So what was it again? Garlic?
Just garlic. And the garlic I use is garlic salt with some parsley in there. And then that's Tony Cesare is just like a pepper, like a spicy pepper. It's, you usually find it pretty easy in grocery stores, but it's not real hot. But it's just enough to give it some flavor, some bite.
Yeah, a little flavor.
Now, when you flip it over, no more Tony Cesare because you don't want to go overkill on it. Most of the people in our congregation don't like it too spicy. Me, I like it hot. I like it real hot. You know. But then when you flip it over, throw you some basil, so Italian seasoning, and some parsley in on top of that with just another touch of garlic, and you can slam those all day long. They're just absolutely delicious.
Actually, sounds pretty good. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do this. This is like...
You're going to need to make a cooking special show with this guy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm literally going to set this show aside and go, how to cook stingray. Listen to this.
This is probably the only show out of all his recordings that he's going to go back and listen to so he can get the recipe again.
No, I actually do my bookkeeping while I'm listening to all your shows. Your show's been very good, Barry.
Okay. Now, I'll be honest with you. Iron skillet, to me, anytime I'm cooking anything nice, I want to use that iron skillet because you get it hot first, it's going to keep the temperature, throw that butter in it, and that's half the key right there.
Well, a cast iron skillet is, it's thick, mm-hmm. and the iron heats up evenly.
Yep.
And as long as you're not varying the temperature, once you get it where you want it,
that's
it's
right.
real consistent, even when you put the oil in, it absorbs enough heat where it's not going to go up and down. If you lose the stainless steel and the aluminum and the coppers and all that, they change temperature a lot.
They do, and you got to battle it. And I do like using stainless steel on certain things, especially if I want to be making eggs or making like a cod
banana. I use my ceramic one for eggs.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right. Because my ceramic pot, I have a little frying pan, and as long as you keep it on low heat, nothing sticks to it. Yep. What they don't tell you about those ceramic ones is as soon as you turn the temperature up, it burns and destroys that pan.
Yeah. So I like to use I like to stainless steel with that just because of the opposite effect to it. I know I can get it up to temp, and then I can back that temperature off, throw my eggs in there, and it's going to cook as it's cooling down. I pull it off, no stick, no mess, no problem.
Wow.
So
okay. That's so efficient. So like if you're cooking for a lot of people like you do,
yep.
you just like onto the next filet, you just like
exactly.
keep going.
Just hit it and go. Because it's just so easy to flip them in and out without having to char up your skillet and get it all burnt and nasty and all that stuff. I don't like to play with that. We had some over the other day. We had a carbonara. It's an Italian dish I learned when I was in Sicily. And it's basically pasta. And then in your pan, while your pasta's cooking, you're cooking a bacon, jaw bacon from the pig, and it's real salty. And so you don't have to put a lot of seasoning in this. And then as soon as this gets cooked up, I throw my peppers and stuff like that in there, leave the grease in it, leave it just like it is, set that off to the side, take it off the heat. You don't want it on the fire no more. Now, again, I'm using a stainless steel on that. Then I'll throw my little fish bites in there. I want a little bit of fish in there, you know. Okay. I like to use lane snapper. I like to use, what's the other one? The,
grunts?
Not squirrel fish. I haven't used squirrel fish yet.
Squirrel fish is one of the new delicacies of the Gulf.
Yep, that's
people are finding that.
Rediscovered.
Yeah, rediscovered.
They're not just for bait anymore.
They are wonderful bait, but I have heard that you know,
if they're small enough, you don't want to fillet them. They're bait. They're big enough where you want to fillet them, they're food.
Yep, halibut is the other fish I like to use, and it flakes up pretty good. Now, once you put that in the pan, it's not on fire anymore. So now how are you going to cook you're going to put raw eggs in this. The raw eggs becomes your cream. So you set that off to the side, and as soon as your noodles are done, you put your noodles down on top of all this nice little vegetation you got going on with your jaw bacon, your cut, your diced peppers and all that, you know, onions, your tomatoes, and my fish that's been in there. Now I want to throw that in there. Now I want to cook it with hot water. I take boiling hot water and just set it on top and stir with a pair of tongs. Just stir it. And it's done, and I can make a mess for like 10 people.
Now, are you using the boiling water to steam it, or are you actually putting the water in with it?
Water in it. And the water and the raw eggs makes the sauce. And it's tremendous. It's absolutely good. It's called carbonara. It's awesome.
Where did you learn that from? Back in Mississippi?
No, I was in Sicily, Italy. I lived there for 4 years, and I actually got with some chefs over there and just started learning how to cook. You know, it's just... I love to learn how to cook new things.
One of these days, we're going to have to get a pencil and follow you around. I'm just going to get a map and have here's A, B, C, D.
You're going to run out of letters.
E and a half, F, G, Q. Okay.
Well, it's like a year later, people are going to rediscover how good stingrays are because of how to prepare them. And then next thing you know, there's going to be regulations on stingrays.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, look at it this way. When I first came here, the first time I didn't know what redfish were.
Uh-huh. No.
I was working before I came to Port Charlotte as a commercial fisherman.
Okay.
And to me, redfish were red drum. But, I mean, they're 60 pounds, 40, 60 pounds. Two of them fit in a normal garbage can. and like the black drum. The way you think of black drum is the way I thought of redfish. Because this is long before the ban. You could still sell them. They hadn't come out with the black and redfish.
That pearl craze.
They were completely unregulated species. And when I hit Port Charlotte, this guy's sitting there, and he's got a bunch of fish up on the bank. And I'm like, what are those? He goes, saltwater carp. They ain't worth nothing. Ain't no good serious? To eat. And oh, he's got a pile up. He says, I'm trying to kill them because the whole place is infested with them.
Oh, my God.
And that literally was a true story. But that was in the late, like, 79 or 1979.
Wow.
Oh, we're out.
Yeah, we are out of time. Can you believe that?
Barry, I had fun on this one, man. This is too early.
I know, this is too early. We're going to go eat after this.
You got to do a prayer, man.
Yeah, we do have to do a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for another gorgeous, glorious day, Father, that you provided us. Father, thank you for the information you gave us today. What a wonderful opportunity it is to sit here and fellowship with three of my brothers here in Christ. And go over some recipes, go over some techniques of fish and how to prepare them. And Father, as you prepare us, thank you very much for all your blessings in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just let it run. I turned the recording off. On my door I'd hang a sign.